fact we take just a part of a verse. But that is a great promise in that verse. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. It said, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. I was in a service the other day, and the preacher preached on God knows. God knows. And I look at this passage of scripture here. It's not what I came out here to talk about this morning, but it says we have a promise. He gives us a promise. No weapon. He's not talking about, but he's not excluding guns and weapons. But you know, as church folk, we have some deceptive weapons that we will unleash against one another. We will get an attitude really quickly about someone. And it'd be all right just to get an attitude, Deacon Woodhouse, but when you start letting that attitude affect your behavior, hallelujah. That's not what I come out here to talk about. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, but we need to make sure that we realize that if you can't run down every lie, if you can't run down every lie, that's all you'd be doing is chasing lies. If you know that you know that you know that you love the Lord and that you're walking according to His standards, and if you are trying to lift up the name of Jesus, they talked about Jesus. But the Word says, right here, now if for you who don't know where that verse is found, Isaiah 54 and 17, amen? It says, no weapon. It didn't say some weapon. It didn't make no exception. For every weapon and every tongue. How many of you quit going somewhere because people were talking about you? Amen? Now we quit going to church in a heartbeat. We'll quit going to church in a heartbeat because they said, it wasn't even talking about you. The pastor was preaching. But do you know, 99 and 9/10 of what I'm preaching to myself. If I'm not, the word is lying. It's there. The cuss going out and coming back. But we are going pastor talking about me. Well, when pastor talk about you, you know I'm talking about you because I'm going to talk to you face to face. I'm talking about in general. Amen. And we'll quit coming to church. Amen. When we go to our job on Monday morning, man, talk about us like we're dogs. And we ain't going to walk out. Well, that's different. No, the God that gives you the job is the God that you ought to be listening to. See, we're under the perception that our boss gave us the job. But you know, there's a lot of people that are in better shape, got more sense than you do, that can do your job 10 times better than you, and they got passed over.
That's right.
And you got accepted. That's called favor. And to put an adjective in front of it, I think it's an adjective. Describes that what the adjective is. God's favor. Because if you're doing what God told you to do, and you receive blessings, you have to realize it because it's your obedience to God and the favor of God in your life. not making you so good or perfect, but because you serve a perfect God. Now, maybe, Lord, can I go to work? It says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue which rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn.
That's it.
You know, when you go to court, they don't ask you what somebody told you. They don't ask you what you think happened. They want to know what happened. And when these weapons rise up against you, you need to know that they need to know what happened that they cannot prosper. Not that mama was saved. Not that I was born a Baptist and I'm going to die a Baptist. Not that I was born in any denomination, because you were born a sinner. And if you have not accepted Christ, you're going to die a sinner. In the Baptist church, Church of God, Christ, Catholic church, whatever church you're in, if you don't accept Christ, you just are dying a sinner with a title. But he said, notice he did not say God condemned. It didn't say that. It didn't say that. It says, every tongue which rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn.
Well,
and how do we condemn lies? Live the truth. Walk in truth. You know the thing, only bad thing about a lot of bad things about lies other than sinning. Is the fact that when you tell one lie, you usually gotta back it up with another lie. And pretty soon you'll be to forget what lie you told and who you told it to. Amen. Now some people will say, well, it's easy on me. It's easy on my conscience to just tell you the truth straight out. Amen. For years I tried to do that, and I still do try to do it what is politically correct, but you know what I found out? Being politically correct don't get you anything but being politically correct.
That's right.
And it doesn't help the person you're trying to help. And 10 years later, you're still dealing with the same issue. Hallelujah, anyhow.
Amen.
You said all unrighteousness is sin. When somebody come up and say, tell you something that that's going to help you. Reverend Jones used to say, you chew the fish and spit out the bone. You don't spit out the whole fish because you leave hungry. Amen? But if you can contain what's good for you and get rid of what's not good for you, then you progress. So if a person comes up to you and talks to you about what they see as a shortcoming, it says in the scripture that if you go to your brother and you talk to your brother one-on-one and he hears you, you've gained a brother. Thank you, Lord. So I'd rather for you to be upset with me here on earth than to hear God says, Banks, you should have said something. You know better. That's on you, man. You know, I got enough to give an account of for myself.
Amen.
Amen. So I don't need Willoughby's burden. I don't need Gayden's burden. I better just put it back in there. Court. And no matter how you try, if you continue to stand on God's word, you may feel like you're defeated. You may feel like you're losing the battle, but it says this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. You know, when God called us home, he's not going to call, well, we call him Reverend Dr. Arthur C. Bay. We call him Reverend Dr. Willoughby. We call him Sister Willoughby or Deaconess Johnson. We're not calling them. We just call him for the service right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we get so heaven bound, we're no earthly good, then we cease to be servants of the Lord. If we seek to be served, I make it a point now to ask anybody to do something in the church that I'm not willing to do.
That's good.
Amen? Because I know that I am, that my righteousness comes from the Lord.
Good word.
And he said, the last words of that says, the Lord. Now that really wasn't a message for the morning, but so that was just a precursor to the message. So if I don't finish the message, but maybe it was a message that God wanted me to deliver to somebody. Amen. Because many times we walk around as Christians with defeated heads. Heads bowed down and crying poor mouth when we haven't really sought God to say, God, what is it you would have me to do? And hold God to his word. We can hold God to his promises if we are meet the principle. But if you're doing this and that and running to the church and God said, whatever I ask, yep. He said that last night too. He said that when you were smoking that pipe. When you were popping that champagne bottle, God was saying, whatever you ask. And that you ask for strength to resist the temptation, he would have gave you that.
Yes, sir.
Y'all looking at me strange. Make me feel good. I don't see how much strange you have here. Look at me. Amen? All right, amen. But this morning, what I really came out to say, which kind of parallels with this, because, and the reason why I say this, we need to know that we are the church of God. Amen. And we need to know that we are trying to be the people that God and the type of church God will honor.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And that means we have to come out from among the world. And we need it. So if I don't finish this, I'll finish it the first Sunday, which will give me a shorter message. Which I'm sure none of you would be upset about if I have a short message on the first Sunday. Since that's, what is it? It's Jackie's birthday. Yeah, amen. And I know we all gonna go celebrate our birthday. I don't want to make any of y'all have to come to the altar and lay down. We already have one freshman I told just come and lay at the altar. The statements they made. I said when we open the doors for the altar call, don't even stand up, just fall at the altar and lay there. Amen. But what the Lord had placed on my heart is the kind of church, and we've used this topic before, is the kind of church that God honors. You know, everybody that has church on its marquee, or on its sign, is not the type of church that God is looking for.
You're right.
And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 46 and 47 says, and they continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, and the breaking of bread from house to house, they did eat their meat with gladness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, as should be saved. Amen? So if we are trying to develop a church growth strategy, to develop the kind of church that God orders, we can we can use this verse as a tool in order to help us in our church growth strategy. Now, if you look at the New Testament church, you'll find that they were not perfect. The reason they were not perfect, because this membership was composed of sinners. They were sinners saved by grace, but they were sinners just the same. The church today is not composed of stone or wood, steel or glass. The church is composed of people. Even redeemed by Christ, they still have feet of clay. And when somebody says, I won't join that church because it has hypocrites in it, and then we have to understand that if you don't join the church because it has hypocrites in it, go and find a perfect church, but don't join it. Don't join it, because you just messed up that record. The church is not saying that it's perfect, but we serve a perfect God. A God that can do anything but fail. Because of its imperfectness, we have to receive members into its fellowship. Because of its shortcoming, we are challenged to work and grow within the rank. No church is perfect, but it should be more nearly perfect than it is. The imperfections and the shortcomings are scandals that drag us on this journey to achieve our Lord. With all of his faults and all of the church, the New Testament, God still blessed them. The numbers were small. They had no building. They had no organization. They had no status. They had no printing press or electronic communication facilities to spread the gospel. They had no money. Yet that small fellowship of nobodies, as the world viewed them, came closer to winning the church in that generation than ever since, or any time since. Now we have iPads, iPhones, computers. We have mediums of electronic communication that were never thought of back then. And yet, we do not go into the world as much as they did back then. And in the first two chapters of the book of Acts, we find the secret of the blessings of God on the early church. First of all, I may not get any further than this. What time? Well, I'm going to do the best I can with what I got. In Acts 1:14, it says, these all continued, listen now, continued with one accord, in prayer, with the women and the Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. One accord. When the church gets together, when the dudes quit looking at the don'ts, when the haves start quit criticizing the have-nots, when the church get together on one accord, and that oneness is to lift up the name of Jesus, then we will see an explosion that has never been in our lifetime. We'll see people coming to Christ because they want to find out what's going on with that group of people. Everybody was present in the prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Say that one more time. Everybody. Not the deacons, not the preachers, not the auxiliary ministry leaders, but everybody. Everybody was present at the prayer meeting. Brother Woodhouse, I'd have to carry you out if everybody was present at the prayer meeting. It said, these all continued. No one was absent. If we had everybody at prayer meeting, we would not be able to get everybody in the room. And this story here talks about everybody showed up for prayer meeting, and when the pastor came out to start leading, they had to call 911. Because he had a heart attack when he saw people out for prayer meeting. Well, I'm going to tell you now, I'm not going to have a heart attack, man. I'd like to at least faint. Amen.
Amen.
They were all on one accord. They continued with one accord in prayer. Their hearts were knitted together in fellowship and with love. They came with the same serious purpose and common sense of need. There were 120 people together in body and in spirit, joined in prayer and supplication for the promises of the blessings of God. A praying church is a spiritual church. God forgive us that we often have substituted technique for promotion and organization and advertisement for the practice of prayer. But there is no substitute for prayer. Prayer in the secrecy of one's closet, prayer in the family circle, the corporate prayer, in the sanctuary of God's house. God cannot give us blessing unless we are spiritually qualified for them. And we cannot be spiritually qualified unless we pray the price of prayer. We cannot expect God to bless us just because we are who we say we are. You have to give God, be obedient to God, and have a little talk with him every now and then. He knows what you need before you ask him, but I guarantee he gets in a hurry to meet those needs when you pray. There's a parable in the scripture of a woman that kept going to the king and kept asking the king, and the king said, let me grant her request. She worried the king. If you think God's not here, you keep on praying.
Amen.
And just keep on asking.
Amen.
You may not be worthy of the request you made, but he said we will give you sometime your request simply because he's God. The children of Israel, they begged God for a king. God said, you don't need a king. But they begged him and they prayed and they asked him, God, we want a king. The Joneses across the street got a king. The Willoughbys around the corner got a king. Lord, we want a king. And then he said, okay, I'm going to give you a king. But then when they got the king, they forgot that somebody had to pay for the king's palace. Somebody had to serve the king. Somebody had to clothe the king. Somebody had to wash his clothes. Then he said, Lord, we don't need a king. He said, you got it now. That's what you asked for. Be careful what you ask God for. If you're lonely, ask God to send you a Christian man that believes in God and believes in taking care of you. Don't just pray, Lord, send me somebody. Long as they breathe. Long as a warm body. Send me somebody. And then he answers your request. No good, no working. Man or woman, it don't matter. Talk about going to church, you want to go anywhere. Talk about praying together, you want to do everything else. But that's what you pray for. And I've learned when I ask God for something, I want to be specific.
That's it.
Amen.
That's it.
I want to be specific enough to let, and what taught me that lesson, when I came to Washington State, my prayer to God was, Lord, send me to a church where I can sit under an older minister and learn. And where I can get active in the church. And from the day I hit Shiloh, till the day I left, I had no problem with being in acting. My pastor kept me acting. So Deacon John, when he said, "Pastor, you ain't got nothing to do," you're right, I got a good teacher. My pastor kept me acting. And so I know how to keep people acting now. I learned my lesson by walking through the streets of activity. Amen. So I know how to keep you active. Don't think I don't, but I give you a break every now and then. But what I'm saying is, when you go to God in prayer, make sure you know what you're asking for. And then be ready to accept whatever God's answer is. You do know that God answers prayers in three ways, right? Yes. And we're happy with that, whether it's what we need or not. Yes, no, and wait. That's why the scripture says they didn't wait on the Lord. Don't get in a hurry. Don't try to fix what you think God has forgotten about. God knows exactly why He told you to wait. He knows exactly why He tells you yes. He knows exactly why He tells you no. So if you wait on the Lord, He will renew His strength. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. We thank God today. I forgot the young people saying they cut right to the chase. Amen. Amen. So I don't want to let y'all get out. But I think I'm going to let that stand. Those 2 points, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But we also need to be the type of church. See, if you know that the enemy is attacking you, if you know, and the church needs to be aware that we are under attack.
That's right.
If we're not under attack, then you can rest assured we're not doing anything.
That's right.
Come on.
But if you're trying to do anything for the Lord,
yes, sir.
And I'm going to say this too. All of your attacks are not going to come from the outside.
Right.
Amen. And it's just like the attacks that you go before, all of them are not going to come from outside. Some of them are going to come from people that sits by you. I love the Lord.
Yeah.
I love the Lord enough to tear stuff up. Amen. Which is a contradiction to what God said. He said that we should walk together. He said, how can two agree unless they walk together? Why can two walk together unless they agree? So if you get upset, young people, at school because you don't have a lot of friends because you're not going to let them shape you into that mold, that's all right. Walk according to what God has put in your heart to do.
Amen.
Because I tell you what, when you get in trouble, they'll walk by you.
All right.
I don't know. And not only will they, see, y'all got this sense of, I call false loyalty. False loyalty will say, I ain't gonna tell them you. Even though I know you're wrong, I'm not going to tell them you. Then get the other person on the other side that have no loyalty. Yeah, I did it, but Rashay was right there with me. Did Rashay do anything? No, but she was with me. Guilt by association. You don't have to be doing nothing, but no, the whole one there with you. I didn't do nothing. I was just standing there. Well, you should have enjoyed it because you're going to be an accountant. You hear me, young people? You need to understand, too, that if you want no weapons formed against you to prosper, you need to put yourself in a position where God can protect you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You need to put your heart and your life in His hand at a young age. And I know somebody else said, Pastor, don't want us to have a good time. But I wish somebody had told me what I'm trying to get across to you. Because I would have been better off a lot farther than I am, and a lot better than I am. Not saying I'm that bad. I'm not that good either. Amen. But I could have been a lot better than someone that told me. Ignore that voice. but listen to me. Don't let nobody pull you into that mold because they want to make you fool. If it takes somebody else to make you, know who you are. Right? How do you know who you are? Know who you are. And don't stand for who you are and not what someone else want to make you. Alright. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to encourage you. Because we, as a family of God, have to encourage one another. And in doing that, that's why we have to be specific when we pray in the household of faith. It's all right to say pray for our children. But some of you may or may not know what they are up against. So you need to find out. Talk to them and find out what challenges do you have. How many of you have challenges that you have not addressed to your parents? Okay. Your parents, close your eyes. I want y'all to be real with me. Real with me today. How many, hold on a minute. How many of y'all have challenges? Come out this way here, man. How many of y'all have challenges? All right, okay. Right here? Right. Okay. All right. Hey, I got it. No problem. It's recorded in the book. Amen. We didn't even get it on video. But talk to your children. Pray with them. Teach them how to pray. So they'll know how to ask God to give them the courage. And that God will give them the strength to resist the temptation that's out there. And believe me, there are a lot of temptations out there. I walked through school the other day, and just listened to some of the language that some of the kids were saying and spewing out of their mouths. Mothers and fathers, pray for your children. I can't say that pray for your children because they may be trying to do right. But there's someone out there that will try to lead them in a pathway of destruction. God is able. You have to believe that with all of your heart. Even in your situation, you have to ask God to give you the strength and the wisdom to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say.
Yes, sir.
I walked through the school and all of a sudden I feel somebody grabbing me around my waist saying, Pastor, Pastor, I want to come back east side. It was Antonio. He was with three or four of his friends. I said, he probably said, what is going on with this guy? Why is he hugging this other man? This big black man walking down the hall. and that was Antonio. He said, Pastor, I want to come back east side. I said, well, you have to work on it, brother. I don't know how to do this. But we need to understand that if we can impact the lives of our young people through prayer.
Yes, sir.
And we can surrender our heart. And so, you know, so that don't just become a slogan on the t-shirt, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It can be something that's a conviction of your heart. Because I'm dumb enough to believe that I don't care what whatever warfare come up against me, greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. And therefore, if he's within me, no will formed against me shall prosper. This morning, that may be some challenges in your life, and you need some help, and you want to surrender your life to God and let him step in and help you deal with your challenges. No matter what you're going through, God is able. If you put your trust in him, This year it started out like a lion, but I'm glad I know the lion tamer. Amen. His name is Jesus. So no matter what comes before you, if you know who can tame your situation, who can handle your situation, the problem is too many of us try to handle our own situation and leave God out. But I stopped by this morning to let you know what the kids sing, no weapon formed against you shall prosper.